time for the shortlist New England Public Radio's Week in Review. I'm Jill Kaufman. With us today, Christine Palpini, reporter at the Berkshire Eagle, and Matt Zafransky, editor-in-chief at Western Mass Politics and Insight. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with one of yesterday's big breaking stories, because there were a few yesterday. Massachusetts' highest court decided in favor of the Berkshire Museum selling dozens of its artworks. That includes at least, as far as we understand, one piece by Norman Rockwell. Kristen, the museum had said that it is a matter of survival that they sell these pieces of art. It's an old building. There's a need for a stronger endowment, which is the foundation of many museums. With this publicity, for better and for worse, could Pittsfield become like the next town of Lenox, well-known for Tanglewood and Stockbridge nearby?
I mean, the town could, just because of the wealth of cultural resources it has there. Is Berkshire Museum going to lead the way? I don't know. A lot of people, there are a lot of bruised feelings out there in the local community, but also nationally. This story hit a lot of people with who might be thinking of donating or just wanting to protect our cultural resources.
Matt, any thoughts on Attorney General Maura Healey's about-face on this? She initially opposed the Museum Board of Trustees' push for the sale, and then she also then helped negotiate the agreement, which we learned about yesterday. Thoughts on that?
Well, first, I just want to mention, I, as a disclosure, I have been a supporter of Attorney General Maura Healey's in the past. But with that said, I think what you're seeing here is probably one of the more mechanical aspects of the Attorney General's office. They are charged with regulating public charities because they get a benefit. We give them a benefit by not taxing them. And so I think, but it's still a private entity. So there's going to be some limited degree to which they can really impose their will. Now, there's certainly, it's fair to ask questions about, you know, why certain decisions were made. But I think what you're seeing here is just, you know, they wanted to intervene because there was some threat to the public interest, but they're still, the state isn't necessarily in a position to say, to tell exactly what they can do.
Right, right. Another big story this week, more than 11,000 drug convictions are being vacated. This also came out yesterday. It's as a result of the actions of the former Massachusetts drug lab chemist Sonia Farrick, who stole and used drugs from the lab that is not too far from here in Amherst. Luke Ryan is a defense attorney who discovered the extent of Farrick's misconduct, and he says the court needs to review even more cases.
It became very clear that the Amherst Drug Lab was engaging in forensically indefensible practices, really profound deviations from accepted protocols. And so the reliability of all the work that was done there during the time that Sonia Farrick was at that lab team, I think, is suspect.
Defense lawyers are pushing for all convictions that were based on tests from the Amherst Lab to be thrown out. Matt, it's a victory, says the ACLU of Massachusetts. What do you think the view from Beacon Hill is about this and next steps?
Well, I think that the most, when it comes to like the issue of these people being released because there was a flaw in the evidence, then I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of complaints from Beacon Hill, because when there's an error in the criminal justice system, it has to be corrected. What I do think you're going to see is some interest in can they strengthen this process to make sure that there's some type of fail-safe so this doesn't happen again. It's human error and people make mistakes and some people act malevolently. And so you're going to have situations like this that could happen, but you should have some kind of system so that it doesn't completely break down so many convictions.
That could also be just a simple issue of staffing, and they are way overworked. Mm-hmm. Way understaffed. You know, errors are more likely to happen in those situations.
Last year, Berkshire County District Attorney David Capelis was among the last of the DAs in the state to give the court the to dismiss list from his part of the state. The Berkshire Eagle then reported that the fallout from the dismissals is arriving in Berkshire County at a time when public safety officials in the city of Pittsfield, in particular, are contending with gang violence that they say is often connected to the drug scene. For the city of Pittsfield, again, looking there, what do you think is going to happen with, again, these dismissals?
Right. So, I mean, this is an issue. A lot of people that had been in jail that at some point the justice system thought belonged in there, now back on the streets. I think that, you know, it's not that long ago that these people were in there, but I think that there's more knowledge now about drugs and how they're used, and substance recovery, and I think that's, you know, there is gang affiliation here, but I don't think that's the whole story.
All right, we'll keep an eye on this. Finally, a story that evolved a lot this week, Springfield Mayor Dominic Sarno's push against a church in the city providing sanctuary to a Peruvian immigrant who is facing deportation. He has said very clearly that Springfield is not a sanctuary city. Matt, you and I have both been covering this week, I know that. Can you quickly summarize what happened this week with the inspection of the church by the city?
So essentially, the church was inspected by city housing and code enforcement. They found a few minor violations, which are relatively easy to correct. It is my understanding that the church had an apartment already going back to the 40s for the church caretaker. So the fact that she's living there kind of sidesteps any zoning violations that could potentially be there.
Right. And so the city will be inspecting again in a week, and that's where we leave it for now. But there are some next steps from Sarno, who is again considering trying to remove the church's tax-exempt status. Anything that you know about this at this point?
It's funny. It's after the inspection, his release kind of seemed to suggest that he was sort of moving on from this. I don't know if that's the case. I do think that if he pursues this tax-exempt thing, the city's going to lose. There's just no grounds to say that the church is not a house of worship anymore.
And Christian, in Berkshire County, any buzz in your newsroom about how the city of Springfield is responding to a sanctuary church?
Not really. Folks aren't really talking about it too much in there, but I mean, Hampshire County, Hamden, Franklin, they're all abuzz. They're closer to the sanctuary cities in the area.
If I may, real quickly, I think it's interesting how little state play this particular issue got, because this was a dramatic step by a municipal official to do something that was not required at all by the city of Springfield to do by any federal, state law or regulation.
And finally, the home opener at Fenway Park. Thursday, it was sunny and cold, no snow like today. Here in Springfield, the Boston Red Sox beat the Tampa Bay Rays. They have a couple more games this week. Real quickly, Matt, do you care? The Sox right now are number one in the AL East. It's very early.
I care that it starts spring.
Kristen, what's your take on this? Do you live in Red Sox Nation?
I live in Red Sox Nation, but I'm a transplant New York Yankees in my heart. But this is a very promising start for the Sox.
All right. Kristen Palpini, thank you so much. Reporter at the Berkshire Eagle. Glad you could join us today. Matt Szafranski, editor-in-chief at Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thanks for coming
in. My pleasure.
I'm Jill Kaufman. This is The Shortlist, NPR's Week in Review, and you can catch up on your listening anytime wherever you get your podcasts or at npr.net/podcast. This is New England Public Radio.